You might be ready for Sunday school this morning, but I'm not. There's much in this as we look at it. The more I study, the deeper it gets. But that's the way God's Word is. We've just scratched the surface anyway. So after you bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we'll dig into our lesson. Lord, again today, with thankful hearts, as we do each and every day, that you bless us to see the sunrise, to see the light of the day. Bless us through night as we rest, and take care of us when we have no idea what's going on about us. And Lord, I thank you for those who are present this day. I thank you that you have, by your marvelous grace, saved us and have given us a desire to know and understand your precious word. But I also know, Lord, that we will understand absolutely nothing about it without the presence of the Holy Spirit, the thing that enlightens us to your precious word, helps us to have the knowledge of your precious word, to know it and understand it. And Lord, we ask this morning as we gather that you'd be in our presence, that you'd walk us through each word and each verse of your precious word, and may we partake of it and rejoice over it. May we be strengthened by it and encouraged by it as we gain knowledge. May we be better prepared to meet the challenges of the world and to meet Satan head on. We ask now that you would bless again through this fellowship today, not only Sunday school, but worship service and all that's done here this day. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Owe it all to you. Humble ourselves before you now. Ask you to use us that the people might be blessed. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Let's kind of begin this morning with questions. Is God and Christ and the Holy Spirit alive? Y'all quiet this morning. Have you woke up yet? If I ask a question, now we're going to have to answer it. Okay? Is Christ and is God and is the Holy Spirit alive?
Yes.
Okay? Can they die? Can they be non-existent?
No.
Okay. So we got three questions and we got three no's. So that means what? It means he's everlasting. The Trinity is everlasting. So with that in mind, let's go a little bit deeper. You know, I have been struggling in the process of this study and trying to figure out how to explain life and the soul and do the separation. We became a living soul. That's what, when God created Adam and Eve, he breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. So we have, in God's word, we have soul and we have life mentioned. But we also have, we talk about the heart. Many times we talk about the heart like it's the soul. And they're almost inseparable, but they are not the same. So let's go back now and think about the birth process. When you were born and I was born, what took place in the process of that? Now, regardless of what anybody says, life begins at conception, without question. It begins at conception. And when the sperm and the egg unite together, We have a life. But what we have in the beginning is the soul. Think about this with me a minute now. The heart is not the thing that could give that life, because the heart has not yet developed. The sperm is a lively sperm. Now, when a couple think that they're expecting and they want to make sure and they go to the doctor, what's the first thing mostly? Now, we're going to have to get out of the modern age and go back to when I was born. And we didn't have all this stuff where they could see everything like you can see now. You know, we're old-fashioned. But the doctor could come in and put two probes in the ear with that piece of tube on it and that little disc on the end of it, you know, a stethoscope. Now, how did they know? What were they looking for? What's the first thing they listened for to see if the lady is expected? A heartbeat. A heartbeat. First proof that life is there is a heartbeat. Now, if we look at Leviticus, and you've heard me have you turn here many times to this. In Leviticus 17 and 11, it says that the life of the body is what? Is the blood. Okay? Now, what carries the blood through the body? The heart does. So we can also say that the life of the body is the heart and the blood thereof, that it moves through the body. Now, you and I, right now, we cannot do without two things, but for just a short, brief period of time. You can't do without a heartbeat. And you can't do without oxygen. Your heart's got to beat. Your lungs, you've got to breathe. And when God set us in order, first thing is a heartbeat. Then that body begins to develop, because that heart is taking the blood, as little as it is at that point, through that body as it begins to mature. The oxygen that it has to have is coming by the process of the mother, and all the food nutrients and everything to grow that body is coming through the mother, and it begins to develop and become a person. So we have now the soul, and we have the heartbeat. The life of the body. So keep those two things in mind. Soul and heart. Now let's look at a few things this morning. Look at a few scriptures together this morning with that thought in mind. In 1 Peter, let's begin to look at you and I. So go with me to 1 Peter, and we'll go over and I'm going to go slow. I've got to turn, so you can turn. Chapter number 2. And let's look at a few things in the process of it. Chapter number 2. We're going to look at 18 through 25, about. I'm going to do my best this morning to try to do the separation between the heart and the soul, and it's almost impossible to do. In fact, to be honest with you and I as we live, it is totally impossible for them to be separated. So as we look at this together, I'll do my best to show you those differences. I said this morning you might be ready for it, but I don't know where I'm ready or not. I didn't want to go I wanted to go to James. I apologize. Let's go to James for just a moment. Let's get the sage set right to start with. James chapter number 4. Now, what are we? Our bodies is just a vapor. What happens to a vapor? How long does a vapor last? It's here for a while, and then it dissipates, right? And we have reference in God's Word that our life is as vapor. We also have reference in God's Word that it's like a grass. And it's here for a while, and then it withereth away. So, what we're looking at when we have reference to the grass and to the vapor is that life, our physical life. We are not looking at our soul. Our soul is an eternal thing. And we know that our physical life is, it's going to pass away like the grass and like a vapor. But what about your soul? What happens to your soul when you die? I'm trying to find something right quick that I had looked at that I wanted to see. I got notes several which way. I try to kind of put some of them together. I was looking through something to see if I could find one particular thing here. I don't see it right offhand where I had studied. But nevertheless, we look at us as a vapor and as a grass, that it just drifts away to nothing. Now, we talked about the heart. We've talked about the soul. Now, if the heart is who you are, why is it that when we have a heart transplant, you don't become the person that the heart transplant was? You ever thought about that? A person that has a heart transplant is the same person that they were prior to the heart transplant. So the heart's not the thing in us that gives us our personality, that separates us from everybody else. It's the soul. The only thing that your heart does is give that body life. When I die, what happens to my heart? Is it removed? Does it go somewhere? Does it leave my body? No, it stays with my body and it's buried. Now, what about the soul? What happened to it? And where does it go when we die? Is it buried with the individual like the heart is? Is that where it stays? Or does it depart at death and go somewhere? Questions that we're looking for. Looking for answers this morning to those questions. Now, we talked about last Sunday that Christ made reference in his earthly ministry of death in two perspectives. He looked at some cases and he said, well, they're asleep. And then in the same verse, he'd say they're dead. So it's how Christ perceives us when we die. You know, 1,000 years a day and a day is 1,000 years. So time don't mean a lot in God's eyes like it does ours. So I think that as he looks, especially as he looks at his children, those who have accepted him, he looks at it as just a short time of rest. Until he comes back and we have our new resurrected body like unto his body. So now let's see if we can kindly put a few things together this morning. Let me see if I can find something real quick, okay? Yeah, we talked about James 4 chapter a while ago and then verse... And verse number 15, it says, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now we rejoice in both and also such rejoice in evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But what does he say here? He said, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do what? We shall live and do what? And do this or do that. So the life in us gives us the ability for what? To do this or to do that. So as long as God blesses us to be able to have a heartbeat and breath, we can live and do this or do that. Now, you and I as a Christian, he says we need to do what is pleasing to him when we're doing this and doing that. So we need to keep that in mind. So in Ephesians, go with me to Ephesians for just a moment. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number 1. I've run you all over the place this morning. Okay, chapter number 1, we're going to start with verse number 10. He said, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, I want you to notice the wording in this. He says, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom also we have obtained. What tense we're looking at? That's as if it's already happened. We have obtained an inheritance, been predestined, nated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, he's talking about we have obtained an inheritance. Now, let's look and see when we obtain that inheritance, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, what's the first thing that we are to be to him? We are to be to him the praise of his glory. How is the inheritance obtained, and how can we be the praise to his glory? Who first did what? Who first trusted in who? In Christ. So here's the sequence. We trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted. Next word is after. So we trusted after something. We obtained an inheritance after something. So we trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. In whom also that after that ye believed. And notice this process. After that you believe, you were sealed. Let that word soak in. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So what happened to you and I when we trusted Christ, we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, we believe in Christ, we trust in Christ, we're saved by his marvelous grace, and then we're what? We are sealed with the seal of promise, which is the earnestness of our inheritance, the proof of it, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So we are sealed to the time that we're obtained our inheritance, till we are redeemed, or until he obtains that he has purchased. Now let me ask you a question. We're talking about death. We're talking about the soul. When you were saved, it says you were sealed with what? The Spirit of promise. What is that? Holy Spirit. Now, I asked you the question a while ago. and God and Christ and the Holy Spirit alive? You said yes, right? So there's these, the Trinity is everlasting. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We are His purchased possession. Now, let me ask you a question, another one. If you had some very important papers, and we do this all along as we go through this physical life, you have some very important papers that has to have a seal on it so it can be authentic. Now, when you have those papers drawn up and you have the seal placed on those papers, what do you do with them? You try to put them somewhere in a safe place, do you not? Now, those papers that you have just had drawn up and you have had sealed, most of the time, when do they come into effect? When do they have some effect? Before you die or after you die? Those papers are to be looked at and responded to after your death. All right, do you take those papers or have somebody to take them? After you die, do you tell them, take these papers, and when I die, I want you to put them in the casket with me and close that casket and put them in the ground and bury those things? Is that the way that works? No, those papers are important because they tell you about what is after your death. What's going to take place after your death? Don't help you a bit, because you're already in a hole in the ground. I got to thinking about that. And it says that when I die, I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. My soul is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when I die, it's going to leave the body, because that body is dead. There's no more life in it. And that's my spirit, my soul, that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit, is not going to be put in the grave and dirt thrown on it. Because that soul has a part of the Trinity of the Almighty God in it. And it lives eternally. And the grave has no power and no authority and no hold over my soul. And my soul's not going to lie over yonder in a grave if he don't come in the rapture. It's not going to lie, and I die before the rapture. It's not going to lie over yonder in the grave and wait for him to come in rapture. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have an inheritance already. And my inheritance is in heaven. Those papers that we have to do with when we get them drawn up and we get them sealed, they have something to do with our what? Our inheritance. Well, my inheritance is in heaven. And I'm looking for the day when I can make that trip and obtain that inheritance. Look at John. Go back over to John 14 for just a moment. And I want you to, and we've talked about this. Chapter number 14 and verse number 16, and how many times we read this. But we only looked at it, verse number 20. At that day, notice that phrase, at that day. This is a time. When he put day on it, that means there's a time schedule. There's a, when it's going to take place. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So who are you? And where is Christ? And where is God? And where is the Holy Spirit? It's a part of us. And do you think if I read God's word right, it says that you and me and I and you, and he's in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you think that you can put Christ in a box and close the lid and throw dirt on him and keep him there? You think you can put the Holy Spirit in a box in the dirt and throw dirt and in a box in a hole and throw dirt on him and keep him there? Not hardly. Christ is in us through or by the means of our soul. And when you breathe the last breath, the door opens and your soul departs. And it's going somewhere. Heaven or hell. Okay. Go to Ephesians. In chapter number 4 of the book of Ephesians. Good gracious. I sure have been slow this morning because time's already gone. In Ephesians chapter number 4, and we look at verse number 20. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversations the what? The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And you be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man. Now look at the latter part of this verse. You put on the new man, which after Christ is created in what? In righteousness and true holiness. In us, there are two natures. You have an old man and you have a new man. And we have a fight every single solitary day. Because the new man wants us to do, the old man wants us to do what the old man's always done, and please yourself and please the devil. And the new man says, no, you're now a new individual, you're now a new person in Christ, and you need to live like he leads us to live. And we need to live a life where Christ can be seen in us. You know, when that baby is conceived, it takes a while for us to see the baby. Well, when you and I are saved by the marvelous grace of Christ and the new man comes in us, it takes a while for that new man to come forth. Because what has he got to do? He's got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, that Christ might be seen in him. And I hope it's quicker than it is with a child. I hope it don't take 9 months for it to show up that you've been saved. I hope it's faster, much faster than that. But it's an example, so to speak. I'm trying to put some examples out there, and I'm not doing very good at it this morning. I can't get my stuff together this morning, it seemed like. I reckon the devil just don't want me to, but whatever. But what I want us to do, and our time's already gone again today, I want us to look at what happens to us when we are saved. And see what it does to us as we live our Christian life, and then see what Christ said about our souls when we take our last breath. Forgive my stumbling around this morning. God bless you, and I appreciate you being here. Maybe you picked up a little something of the happy today.